From Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 6, verses 3 to 19. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Be they that will be rich fall into temptation and the snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall shew, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honour and power everlasting. Amen. Change them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. There are a number of reasons why I think that Timothy is an important but neglected part of the Bible, and the King James Bible in particular. One is that it's a letter of St. Paul, and I think that obviously Corinthians is a very well-known letter of the Bible, but Timothy much less so. And I think it's worth concentrating on Paul's work in the Bible, because it shows the work and skill of the scholars who translated the King James Bible, because actually, as any Greek scholar will tell you, Paul's letters in the original are actually quite rough and ready. This is not a man who had the kind of education that the men who put the King James Bible together had. And they've turned this rough and ready text into something really quite beautiful. And they've made it even better than the original in a sense, without, I think, most people would agree, losing any of the meaning. I think they're another part of Timothy which I like, and particularly this passage, is the fact that it warns us against greed, materialism, which have become so important in the world at this moment. And I think the third reason, perhaps the most important reason, is the passage in which Paul addresses the fact that only God has immortality in any certainty. And this gets over the idea that Christianity is not about certainty, but it's about doubt as much as it is about faith or anything else, and that it's a very questioning religion, and it's not some kind of opium of the masses, as some political thinkers and perhaps some modern scientists might tend to think it is. It's actually very, very questioning, and I think that that's perhaps the most important thing about the King James Bible and about the works here, and in particular the letters of St. Paul, is that they address that issue head on, the issue of doubt, which is a central part of Christianity.